Welcome, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Mutant City Horror. Me and my buddy Reed here, we're going to entertain you some more with another romper for the romper stomper room. Whatever the...
Man, I remember Romper Room when I was a kid. That's that little kid show, right? Where you'd show off.
I don't even remember. Do show I until? Remember the title. Yeah, like I remember the title. I don't remember how... What about?
Yeah, but. It was iconic. It was iconic. It was on one of the three channels growing up, you know?
Yeah.
but that's not what we're here to talk about today, right? We got a pretty pretty awesome slasher slash paranormal flick for the crowd.
Yeah. It's a good way of bringing. I'm gonna make up my own word by calling it a hybridization of sorts. Yeah, absolutely. I'll just go about it and say this: great American horror ingenuity here, and we're about to delve into and stuff like that. Ultimately, something that proves that you don't need a story and you don't need a plot to engage in something nice and entertaining. And that's what this movie gave us.
I mean, I thought there was a pretty good plot in here. All right, but let's tell the folks what movie it is we're checking out.
Well, before we go about that, like, the reason why I say that is that the plot is very simplistic. Like, basically, there's no story. There's just what you need to know. This is something that follows every single horror trope that we can possibly engage in and stuff, plus more. And tonight we're talking about a classic film. So here it goes. Tonight, monsters running amok. We run for that theater. And the marquee now reads, "Night."
A funeral parlor? Way out here?
I can't believe we're gonna party here.
Now it's time for party games.
Yeah.
How about a past life seance?
A seance?
What the hell was that?
They're pure evil. They're demons.
That's right. This is a 1988 version. We not part one, not part two. I said not part one. No, we're doing part one, not two or three.
Didn't even know there were sequels. Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Night of the Demons. This is one of your classic 80 cult hits where a bunch of horny teens are looking for a Halloween party, and they end up getting caught up in a good old possession by a bunch of demons, right?
Yeah, there you go. Perfect example of a nice, quick, synopsis of this film, straight to the point. And that's exactly what this movie is.
All right. So, first of all, I'd like to go ahead and talk about. We've got some icons within this movie. You've got the lady who plays Angela, which is one of the main characters here, Amelia Kincaid. She's the weird chick in science class who basically is also the icon within this movie, who basically is the first female monster in music movie history. That's what they call her character. Man, I am stumbling over my own words.
No, it's all right. I'm still trying to place this into the puzzle that isn't the horror mural of all time.
Right.
The very first. How'd you say it?
So in looking up a little bit more about her character, she was recently awarded a Lifetime Achievement Award for a Horror Hall of Fame as being the first female monster in movie history. And that's because of this movie, along with the other two follow-ups, that she played the same part.
Got it. So goth chick, first female horror movie monster.
That's right. Go figure.
Hell yeah.
I couldn't think of another one off the top of my head, but I'm sure one of the listeners will come up with some.
No, and other than that, not any really big names or anything like that. But we do have another reappearance of our good friend, Linnea Quigley, because everyone knows her because everyone loves those tits.
Oh, absolutely.
She always shows the tit. Don't we love them? Not a very ranged actress or actor, depending on the times and how you sway with them. But she's no stranger to these kind of movies. No deep range, but and I only say that because in every role I see her play her in, or I see her play in, I should say. There's always a little bit of trash that comes out of her, quote unquote.
Is that the Return of the Living Dead?
No. Don't tell them. Don't you dare tell them. If you don't get the joke, you don't belong on this podcast. Come on, do a little deep thinking. And in fact, it's funny because in choosing this one too, I totally bypassed the fact that she was in it, and it's funny because we got at least two more movies that she stars in and stuff like that in line for this podcast. So, you know, bless your heart, Linnea Quigley, always forever fans.
All right, so let's dive into this movie. There's some good stuff in here. It starts off with some opening sequence animation that really kind of reminded me of Beetlejuice. You know, as you got the skeletons and the demons kind of flying around a graveyard house.
Yeah, it was like cartoony and stuff like that and stuff. I like that aspect about it. It kind of showed you kind of where this movie is going to go into. How do I want to say it? A fantasy. It's like a fantasy, right? Like, it's just, it kind of leads you into, because that's what Beetlejuice was. That's what all the movies are. They kind of start with these kind of types. And, you know, there's an animation there. There's some good music that kind of sets the tone of the movie right off the bat. And I think I think that kind of sets the tone for the rest of it in general. Is just the layout, the surrounding elements, the credit scene, and the music itself kind of readies you for what you're about to watch.
Right, and it also told me that they spent a little bit of money on things like the opening sequence, right? Because otherwise, you just roll some credits and get it on. But anyways.
Sure, yeah. They took a little creative approach to it. Sometimes you find it in these smaller movies, and what I mean by smaller is, and I only say this to the audience in case you're wondering what I mean by that, is that this is not a movie heavily recognizable by a lot of people, but it is recognizable within the horror community and stuff. There's different types of people who are involved in the horror community. There are those that are horror fans that don't really know what the fuck they're talking about. And there's the ones that are like diehard horror fans. I'm talking about the diehard horror fans know what this movie is.
Oh, you know? Yeah, without a doubt. And, without a doubt.
And, And then there's those ones that kind of, they wear the t-shirts, they listen to the music, they follow with the times, they join the cons and stuff like that, but have no idea what they're representing. Probably have never seen this movie. And in part, that's why we do these kind of things for those people as well, who haven't seen them or didn't even know they existed. Here we are, representing one of those.
Absolutely. So this movie opens up on, it's Halloween, and they're, all these teenagers are talking about, like, what they're going to do tonight, where the party's at. Reminds me of back in the day, like, scrambling at the last minute, trying to figure out where the best food is going to be, because I'm a big guy. I always like to eat, too, at those parties.
They're all about the party, man. Nothing else matters, right? They're engaged. They're ready to go to their ultimate linear line, the one destination that they were supposed to go to in the first place. Somebody said party, and they were up for it, right? And that's what these guys are doing.
That's right. That's right. So the party is being thrown by the creepy girl in the science class, Angela, who has decided to throw the party over at this AKA place called
Goth Chick.
Oh, right? You're 100% right.
No. Yeah.
Over at the Hull House. And, like, wow. We don't know what the Hull House is. We're watching. I never heard of it. But, like, apparently everybody in town knows about the Hull House.
Hello, Jay?
Hey, Judy. You almost ready to go?
Not quite. I got stuck after school helping Mrs. Evans out with that drive for the homeless.
I told you that was a scam.
Well, someone has to do it.
Well, listen, there's been a slight change of plan for tonight.
What do you mean?
I've got a better party to go to.
Does this mean I should find another date for the dance?
Of course not. Hey, I thought you'd be happy to go to a real party. That school dance is for nerds.
Oh, okay, sure. Why not? Who's giving it?
I don't know if you know her. Her name's Angela.
Angela? No, the only Angela I know is that weird girl in history class.
Well, as a matter of fact...
Jay, you've got to be kidding.
Angela is such a weirdo. Granny says she's into witchcraft and all sorts of creepy stuff.
Come on, you don't believe all that, do you? It's a bunch of crap. Just a lonely old misfit trying to get some attention by acting weird, that's all.
So why in the world would you want to go to her party then?
Because it's Halloween. Who do you know that'll give a better party? It's like Christmas to her.
Do we have to?
Come on, Max and Franny are going. It'll be fun.
Oh, all right, I guess so. I can't wait to meet her family. She probably lives in a belfry.
Well, it's not at her house. It's at Hull House.
Hull House? Jay!
Pick you up in 20.
Then they were saying it, I swear to God, when I was picking it up, I thought they were saying the Hull House. I was like, oh, that's a cool name for a house. Now when you say Hull House, it just means it's taking me back to the glory hole again.
That's a different episode.
but
now that you say this, like, I didn't pick up on that. Like, it maybe it was like a play on being the Hell House and they just replaced the vowel.
Maybe.
Hmm.
Or maybe they were just too drunk to speak and they were just calling it the Hull House because they couldn't say Hell House.
There you go. There you go. What that?
Either way, you know, you're a very generic a trope of somebody's throwing a party in a historic house or a house with history. And in this case, some dark history.
Right.
If you were a teen and you were when you're listening to this podcast, at some point you were there at a point where like somebody said, hey, let's go to this crazy house where people killed themselves and people all died and stuff like that. And they're like, fuck yeah, let's party there. That's what they're doing.
I can't say that I didn't try to party in a house that may have been like that before.
No, that's what I'm saying. We've all been there. That's what I'm saying. We've all been there. Somebody said a murder house to like and a party in the murder house. All on board, right? Because
it's Halloween. It can't be better than that.
Yeah,
I think the guy even says, "You got to go to that her party because like Halloween is like Christmas to her."
Yeah, she's the goth chick. She's weird.
That's right.
She's gonna have a weird fucking party.
That's right.
Which we'll get into as we get further into this, but it's not the kind of party I thought it was gonna turn out to.
Right. So then we meet Stooge, Helen, and Roger, and they're like driving by the old man.
Which
and, like,
one is Alice in Wonderland?
None of those. None of these. They're the ones who are like raging by real quick.
That's right. And the graffitied car. The car that was like all fucking graffiti and shit.
There that must was be like something a 63 Dodge.
Yeah, there must be something about that in this time era because we've seen a lot of that in these kind of movies, aka another joke of Return of the Living Dead.
True that. So the old man, they're harassing this old man. The old man gets like upset and he drops his groceries. Now, I didn't quite pick up on this, but did you see what fell out of the bag?
No.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I had to go back and check this out, but it was apples with razor blades. So he's like yelling at the kids, "You're gonna get what you deserve, you know, for harassing me." When at the same time, I think he was trying to like slip something out there to cause some panic.
And you know what? That's good information. I didn't notice that, but yeah, it is relatively a thing of Halloween times. People passing out apples with razor blades in it. It's, you know, it's one of those big scares. It's the reason why mom and dads check their children's candy and stuff like that. And there's actually a funny aspect about that. Like, yeah, it's always good to be cautious. Don't get me wrong. It's always absolutely good to be cautious. But the reality is people checking candy doesn't really need to be a thing because there was technically only one person in history that tried to poison kids with candy. And I can't remember the name of them for the life of me, but I want to say it was like in the 60s or something like that. And it was this one guy who poisoned not only his own children, but his friends too and shit like that, and was just handing out this little candies that had something in them that was causing harm to local children and stuff. But for some reason that one incident caused that stir where everyone should check their candy and shit. Let me tell you this right now. If you're listening to this podcast and you poison a kid's candy, you're just a fucking asshole. And most people are not that bad. However, it's okay to watch over your young ones.
So then after this, we get to where we find out how the party is being supplied. Do you remember how they supply the party with all the food and drink and everything?
All right. So fragmented memories because, you know, I was doing a little babysitting myself, but I was still watching. So we have a convenience store scene.
Yes.
Where our beloved goth chick and Lena Quigley in her, like, I don't know, guess
Angela Bo-Beep. And Suzanne. Angela Bo-Beep. And Suzanne.
I like to give them nicknames. It's easier that way. I don't know. Whatever.
I like it.
But goth chick and Bo Peep. Or whatever she's dressed up like. She's got this little flaily fucking skirt and shit like that. Always looks sexy on a woman and shit. Who's like fucking got her ass turned out looking for something on the shelf while the two clerks are just sitting there just fucking gazing all the way up into her nest and shit.
Just and lost in thought.
Yeah, and here's the funny part about that is like, I've seen this movie a couple times, but like I said, it's been so long, I didn't really put two and two together. So when I'm first seeing this, I don't know if that was the intention of the film, but like when I'm first watching this, I'm thinking, is she that ditzy or is there a plan here? my initial thought was like, well, blonde hair, he's dumb as rocks, right? She's bending over, not realizing these guys are looking right up into her hooter. And fucking, you know, go figure, it's part of the plan, right? She's causing a distraction while Meanwhile, Goth Chick is gathering up the party supplies.
She's looking like the Grinch, you know, gathering everything up on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, just like that. You're right. I'm just gathering packages.
Yeah, and then on the way out, the girl goes ahead and Goth Chick, as you say, walks right out the door. And finally, her backup, Bo Peep, is what you said?
That's what she looks like. I don't know. She looks like some kind of like. Yeah.
So she,
I'm just assuming that's what she dressed up
as. She walks out the door and asks the question about, like, hey, do you guys have sour balls?
Do you guys have sour balls?
Why, sure we do.
Too bad. I bet you don't get many blowjobs.
They're like,
yes. Yes, she did. Dude, you know what's funny? Of all the things I gathered from that question was, I was thinking in my head, I was like, did they have sour balls back then? you know, like...
Like the candy? Like,
yeah, because I'm thinking... Okay. Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking... I'm sure that's what they were talking about, right? Like, I mean, obviously, right. There's more than one metaphor there. But my whole thing was, like, I was thinking, did they really have them back then? Like,
that's right.
I don't know. I just thought they were kind of a more new wave thing. Didn't realize it.
I think they've been around. I remember sour being a thing in elementary school. Not as big as it is today, to your point, but
yeah, like there's like sour everything sours. Nowadays.
Yeah.
But
so then everybody is like rushing to go ahead and get to the party. Now we got the multiple cars of people trying to head on in, get there.
Well, yeah, we got their car, and then we have the other car. I think that was it, right? There was two cars.
You got that Mustang. It was like a 65 Mustang or 66.
That was Gothic Chick's car, right?
And then you got the other car with
Stooge's car.
Yep, Stooge in it. And then you got the third car, which had
right.
The third car would have been Suzanne and Goth Chick's car, because they were driving on their own. Anyway, so they're all zeroing in.
I think even Stooge,
and this is where we start hearing a little bit more about.
There it is.
The
stop
whole.
The car.
We start to learn a little bit more about, like, people asking about what's going on with the party, and they're explaining that, like,
this place was once a funeral parlor, wasn't it?
Yeah, biggest one in four counties.
A funeral parlor. Way out here?
Well, sure, it's nice and cozy, right next to the old cemetery. And rumor has it, old man Hull really loved his clientele. I mean, in the carnal sense.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I once saw a portrait of Mrs. Hull.
I've heard stories about this place ever since I was a kid. The Hull family met a pretty gruesome end, didn't they?
They sure did. As a matter of fact, it was on Halloween night. One of them went crazy and slaughtered the entire family, then committed suicide. They could never figure out who did it. Too much blood and guts.
I can't believe we're gonna party here.
Neither can I.
Years ago, some people had owned the house and went crazy and killed the entire family before killing themselves. And the whole house was like the biggest mortuary in four counties. And people kept disappearing, so the county gave control of it or something, and there's like an underground stream going underneath it. So, like, we start learning a lot of details about what Hull House is, the spirits that can't supposedly cross these streams.
If I remember correct, that wasn't just supposed to, like, God to the house, right?
You're right.
Max, what are you doing?
I'm just checking out an old legend about this place. Come here. Judy, come here, will ya? Come here, listen.
Water.
Yeah, an underground stream. According to legend, it completely surrounds the property. This wall was built right on top of it. A brick wall on top of an underground stream? Now there's a stroke of engineering genius.
Well, the wall was built to mark the stream. Supposedly the evil spirits that haunt the land can't cross over running water or something.
We go in now. It's getting kind of chilly out here.
All right, so we got goth chick and we got fucking Bo Peep. Fucking leaving the convenience store. Then we have the scene of Alice in Wonderland. Judy. Yes. And she's about to leave the house, and she's telling her little brother, and she's got her new boyfriend that looks like the dude from Miami Vice. Actually. Looks more like the guy from Wedding Singer, who's trying to look like the guy from Miami Vice.
Little Don Johnson action. The rolled up sleeves. I did pick up on that. With the little brother, like with the creepy masks, the Halloween masks.
Oh, dude, talk about, yeah, it goes beyond the creepy mask. I'm sorry. Little brother comes out, she's changing, and he comes out, and what does he say? What does he say, Alan?
I don't remember.
Didn't he say something along the lines of, hey, nice tits, sister?
Oh, yeah. I think that's a call to later on in the movie, too. But yeah, that is a little bit of a pervy move to go ahead and check in on your sister, right?
Okay. Yeah, pervy. Yeah, pervy being one thing. But this kid...
That was really his only role in the movie, was to be the pesky brother. And
okay, this is a movie that is a time capsule of sorts, right? Times were very different. And we look at something like this, we're like, what the fuck are you doing? Why are you checking out your sister, right? But this came from a time where it's like, not that it was okay, but like fucking kids were just experimental and all. And I think what it was trying to portray was that this is just a young kid who's going to look at tits no matter where they come from. It can be moms, it could be fucking sisters. Right. But goddamn, did this movie not age well in that aspect. I was just like, whoa, dude. I'm like, what? You don't have internet in the 80s to look up porn? What the fuck?
Gotta find that Sears catalog, brother.
You know, the Sunday ads. Actually, that could play a big part in this, now that I'm thinking of it. Because, yeah, back in the day, porn wasn't readily available. And if your dad wasn't looking at porno magazines and shit like that, you're pretty much SOL. Mm. Have the internet. So you can probably look wherever you can find it.
Get and I that think that was... porky situation going on.
Fucking weirdo hanging out in your sister's closet waiting for her to take off her fucking shirt. What a fucking weirdo.
Wow, prodigious booby, sis. If you keep on going, you'll have to hire someone just to tie your shoes.
All right, so we'll fast forward then through what I described was, the setup for the party and them kind of getting things going, explaining the lore.
But there was an important aspect. The reason why I brought that up was Alice was leaving with her Miami Vice boyfriend, but somebody who portrays a role in this film showed up too. Right, it was the ex-boyfriend wearing the denim jacket shows up at her house, and she's about to leave.
Sal.
Yes. Yeah,
I forgot about the one date that they had gone on. But yeah, Sal had showed up, which I only remembered him honestly from Married with Children. He was in like one episode of Married with Children.
I wish I had a camera. You look like you dropped the load, Junior.
Hey, cool it, Squirt. Who do you think you are, Rocky Balboa?
Let me go, creep!
Sure. Now go tell that pretty little piece you call your sister that handsome Hunk Sal is here. And tell her I brung my pet snake for her to play with.
Judy's getting ready for a date, butthole. If I were you, I'd get out of here before he shows up and turns your ugly face into a punching bag.
What do you mean that shit, punk? Go get your sister before I lose my cool. What's the matter? You didn't hear what I said, bozo?
Let me go, or I'll yell for my mom.
Go on, baby. What's the matter? You can't take a joke? Now go get your sister.
Judy's getting dressed. She's going to a party.
Party? What party?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Oh, you little asshole.
Oh, Mother!
Hey. Come on, spill the beans, eh? Say, here's a nice chunk of change to loosen your lips a little.
Are you kidding? Betray my beloved sister for a measly quarter? What do you think this is? Some kind of depression or something?
Oh, that does it.
Billy, did you call me?
Hey. This is my final offer, kid. Now take it and sing. Where's the friggin' party?
Sure. You'll be too chicken to crash it anyway.
Yeah, try me.
It's at Hull House.
Hull House? What are you trying to pull, shorty? Your sister wouldn't be caught dead in a dump like that. What do you think I am, some kind of idiot or what?
What I think is besides the point. Hull House tonight.
Better be straight, Billy boy. Or I swear I'm gonna come back here and kick your little ass.
Hey, my mask.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Better than me, because I don't remember him in goddamn shit, but I just know him as the guy who's dressed in denim in this movie.
Yeah, true. He wore it well. He wore it well. He was trying to be a Ralph Macchio type.
Yeah, I could see that. Absolutely, yeah. I totally see that.
Right? So they go to they start partying, you know, they got the music on. What did the guy say? Something to the effect of like, eat fuck, I want a party or something. Like
something along those lines. Was this Stooge, right?
Or
was
it yeah, Stooge talking about? Of course it was Stooge.
Oh, come on, let's hang out.
Yeah, eat a bowl of fuck. I am here to party.
Yeah. Me too. Just because one lame wuss wants to bail doesn't mean we ace this party.
Stooge comes to this party. The best thing he's got for a Halloween outfit is a fucking pig snout. Everything's completely normal. He's wearing a pig snout. And as they were driving,
he had the hairstyle that looked like a dog bounty hunter, you know, with like the really cool deep side cuts.
Normal for the time. I mean, he had the anarchy sign on the back of his jacket and stuff.
True
like
that.
Yeah. He was. It basically, like, I don't know, if I were to categorize him, he would probably be like the bully of the school, right? He's the guy that punks people all the time. Shit. I mean, he's got the huskiness and shit like that. He looks like an asshole, is an asshole, and portrays one really well. In fact, like, when we're introduced to him, he's screaming at his girlfriend while they're in the car and shit.
Right.
Like, just stop talking to me, bitch. I'm trying to drive to this place and shit like that.
Right.
It's like, yeah, he's fucking the good old 80s, man. They don't make them like they used to and shit.
He was an absolute douche.
And he was. He earned it really well. The badge of douchery goes to him, for sure.
Right. So as soon as they start to party, they got the music going, and the music immediately dies out. Batteries die. Like, they're like, we just put fresh batteries in here. We have no idea what's going on. Like,
wait. Sorry, Alan. I'm not trying to kill you back. But there's some key elements here. They crash their car into a ditch.
They had a flat tire on that turn on their way in. Yes.
Yeah. They crash into a ditch, and they were like, "What? You didn't put the spares on?" Of course, I put the spare. No one told me to bring the fucking tire iron. And then, are we gonna gloss over the fact that the fucking the rest of the party goers, as they're passing them up, like, "Oh, flat tire, damn, that sucks," and just keep going and shit?
Yeah, I was trying to leave a little bit for them to watch, but you're right, 100%. There's a lot of
that's the walkthrough. Welcome to Mean City Horror. We fucking spoil it all for you and shit.
So the music dies out and everybody's deciding, like, what are we going to do next? And that's when Angela busts out with the, "Hey, do you guys want to do a seance?" So everybody gathers together talking about trying to go ahead and do this seance. But they're like, in order to do it right with the party this big, you're going to need a mirror that's big enough for everybody to fit in. Not just like the compact mirror that Judy had offered. So right as they mention that, there's this sudden like puff of like air that comes from the other room, which causes Raj and what's the guy's name?
Stooge
to go check it out when they just so happen to find a huge ass mirror in the other room. Like, oh, hey, look what we found. But like, Raj is shooken. Like, he runs out of there looking pretty shook up. Like, I want nothing to do with this.
Raj is the black dude, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay, he's dressed up like a pirate. Yeah. Mind you, remember the tropes that they say. Remember the tropes that they say in these movies from back in the day? It's always the black guy that goes first and shit like that. And the reason why I bring this up is because I was watching this one and I'm thinking, they say that a lot, but the reality is in most of these movies, that's not really the case.
Right, right. It's true. It's true.
I just find that very interesting. Like, why is that a trope? Because the reality is most of the time it is. There are at least the first three, but they're never the first one. Anyways, go on.
Yeah, because it's always the ones who are having sex that tend to be the first ones, or the super assholes, like in this scenario.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. They go ahead and they find the mirror. They start to go ahead and do this big seance. And just like right as like things start to go get, I guess, to where they wanted it to, they see the black in the mirror. Like, there's this image of the demon that we can see. And it flashes like really quick. And then yeah,
it's a face. It's a face. An otherworldly face, which I will say right now was probably my favorite aesthetic of this film, for sure.
I mean, yeah, they did a great job with their demons.
Don't get me wrong, the demons were cool too, but like this demon head, I mean, if I were to take a bet, it's probably where all the money went into this movie anyway.
Right, right. Yeah. Without a doubt.
It's kind of like when you think back at like, you know, poltergeists and shit, and you actually finally see the physical manifestation of that skull face that comes out of the wall and shit like that. It's like, whoa, holy shit. That's kind of like what happened here.
Absolutely.
The mirror image, and it doesn't hold shy. It doesn't even wait to the end. It shows you right then and there this demon face that like pops up in the mirror, which... You know, for a movie of this standing, you know, low quality and stuff, it's just it's not a bad looking creature.
No, I rather enjoy
that face.
Yeah.
I rather enjoy that face.
It was extra demon-y. So once the mirror breaks, we get that really cool, like, to me reminded me of 1988, that first person like camera drag going through the hallway, running through a door slamming behind it, and
I like to recall that it's like the Evil Dead thing, you know. Yes. Like the
Necronomicon like opening.
Yeah, no, just the rabid like fucking running around crazy looking at shit kind of like look. You know, that's kind of what this did. Same thing. Again, this is why I say this movie's just full of tropes, because I feel like it gathers a lot that people like of all these pastime horror films and kind of gathers them, puts them all in one.
Oh, without a doubt. Like, yeah. And that's when everybody starts to go like, hey, I can smell. It smells disgusting. And they start blaming Stooge again. Like, this has got to be you.
Stooge must be wearing his mom's dirty panties.
And at that time, this is when Angela makes a comment about like how this isn't a haunted house versus a possessed house. And it was like one of the coolest like definition breakdowns I had heard, where like haunted is from spirits who've lived in people before, versus possessed is when something that has never been a person takes over.
Possessed, man, haunted, come on! Who gives a shit?
What's the difference between possessed and haunted?
A haunted house is a house with ghosts in it, the spirits of people who've died.
but the spirits living in a house possessed have never existed in human form. They've only existed in spirit form. They're pure evil. They're demons.
I thought that was like a pretty cool defining.
You can't really believe this.
A being of another world.
Nah, just repossessed.
which they say in context, not just to this movie, but the lore behind it is that beings from other worlds are more than capable of taking over not just people, but objects as well as even houses themselves. So that's kind of what she's alluding to, right?
Right. Right, exactly. And so at the same time, with all this demon possession, haunted discussion going on, Raj and Helen, they say, forget this mess. We're out of here. So they're like, we want to leave. And Suzanne quickly offers up Angela's car and says, here, take theirs. Like, go. No problem. And
oh, yeah, because they wanted to ask Stitch for his car. He's like, hey, well, fucking mine's like half a mile down there in the ditch.
Right?
I ain't going nowhere. Right. Well, no, there was more to that. I think we skipped over a little bit there, like a tad bit. Because when she handed over the keys, Linnea Quigley, a.k.a. what I call her, Bo Peep, was no longer herself.
Because
once the demon itself shows itself, it takes the form of somebody in the room, which happens to be Linnea Quigley's character. Instantly taking over her, right? Like her face changes. She's just like, she's gone from like just regular party girl. By the way, again, for another movie in the 80s, terrible dancing. These people.
Well, I mean
see themselves today, they got to be going like, I can't believe I even fucking did this.
Oh, the where they're dancing in their circle with
yeah,
music.
Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, man. People back in the 80s didn't know what the fuck they were doing. I love watching it, but goddamn, what the fuck are they thinking?
It was the decade of the Elaine dance and the white guy. Like, so,
yeah, it is what didn't it know is. What the fuck they're yeah, it is what it is, right. Yeah, she went from like, you know, traditional dummy kind of like party girl and shit to all of a sudden very straight faced and like her tone changed, her attitude changed, and and then she started to sound like more of a familiar character that we know of from another movie that has to do with, I don't know, zombies and 2-4-5 trioxin, which I thought was funny because like that voice actually came out and I was like, ah, there it is. That's it.
Right.
I love my girl. She don't got range, but goddamn, she's got to wear a cum. Like fucking.
Well, so then to your point though, and Suzanne then grabs Angie, the goth chick, and gives her a quick kiss, which then gives, I think, the transfer of that demon now possessing two of them.
Oh, yeah. That was instantly my thought when I first saw it, too. Like, I was, oh, yeah, she's now just passing this shit along like a fucking, like a sexually, STD. Sexually, yeah. No, because, like you said, she just deliberately handed Goth Chick's keys over to Mr. Pirate Black Dude, and I forgot the girl that was with him. She looked like the young one, right? Like kind of like the one that she was a little on the younger side. But yeah, they were like, yeah, we need to get the fuck out. And so she handed Goth Chick's keys over, and Goth Chick was like, "What the fuck?" And she's all like, I just let him go, which I thought was kind of funny because if she is a demon, you would think she would try to draw in whatever kind of bloodletting that she would want. But it made sense when they were like, well, thank you. And she's all like, yeah, go get the fuck out of here. You fucking, what was she called them, cowards or, you know, like these, just, I don't know, something along the lines of cowards, like she's challenging them, like call them chicken or something like that. for not hanging out and shit like that. I was like, Darren.
Here, Raj, take Angie's car.
Hey, what the fuck do you think
you're doing? Chill out, hun. It's your party. You ain't going anywhere.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Don't mention it. I don't care if you're a chicken shit. Just remember to open the gate before you drive through it.
Bye, Raj. That's what it is.
Drive right carefully,
yeah,
Raj.
Yeah, yeah. It was, you know, a little bit egging on.
Yeah, exactly.
You're good. That's when Angie's then starts doing the whole like bathroom search and like,
I think I'm gonna go find the bathroom.
Picks out Stooge to go with him, like with her to go find the bathrooms, and it's, he's all like, oh yeah, that's right. You want some of this? You want
Stooge?
Hey, you heard the lady, man. She wants real man gardener charms.
But Stooge is a fat pig.
Maybe I'm in the mood for pork tonight.
Oh yeah, because what's his name? Denim dude showed up there.
Yeah, he showed up at the party
before everyone else.
Right, hiding because, in the coffin.
Yeah. I was gonna say yeah, because they were doing that thing when they saw the car coming and shit, and fucking they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna chomp your life. We're gonna scare the shit out of these people as they come in, and then he opens the coffin. And he's got that her little brother's mask. He got fucking Alice in Wonderland's little brother's mask. And took that dude's beer and shit. Like, what a dickhead. Right. But anyways, so it was him and Stooge. Apparently, Stooge and him are kind of buddies and shit.
So they end up going on the search for the restroom. And, like, Suzanne immediately goes, like, this is where the bathroom's at. Like, and kind of just shows us, oh, so she's definitely a demon. She knows what's going on.
A good indicator that they've been living there for some time.
Right, right. And this is also where we start to hear the story about how, like, this area had been possessed since, like, the settlers' times, because even the settlers refused to cross the creek. And they tell a story about how a brave was lost in the area for 3 weeks and later found in an intestine teepee chewing on the pupusa. So, like, it just further, like, freaks everyone out talking about how old this grounds have been.
Right. And by the way, like, when they got there to the party, too, there was that guy that talked about the brick wall, too.
I'm just checking out an old legend about this place. Come here.
I think we glossed over that part, too. And the only reason I bring that one is it is kind of a major role in the film later on.
Right, because that brick wall was where the water ran. And this is where we also see,
and that's where he said that, like, apparently that whatever evil resided there could not cross the river.
Right, running water. So when Raj and Helen are trying to leave, they now can't find the exit to that gate. And they're like, we've walked around two times completely, and it's just gone.
Give up. Now what kind of talk is that?
Yeah.
There was a gate here.
Good old sorcery from those demon folk. I tell you.
Look, we've already been around. We go back inside to Suzanne, who's looking in the mirror, and we finally see her possession face. You know, I guess that's what I call it, the possession face.
That's a good way of calling it. Yeah, yeah. Her real demon form.
Yeah. And so she turns to Stooge, and they end up getting locked in the bathroom together, and she transforms. I'm trying to remember how that went down. Like, Stooge finds Angela seducing him, like dancing in front of him and stuff, and then begins to dance with her, and she goes to kiss him and then bites off his tongue, right? And is like standing there just like chewing on it. Like, oh,
and that's when we learn, ladies and gentlemen, these aren't just fucking demons. They're succubi.
Oh!
Dun, dun, dun.
Extra twist.
I love succubuses. Fuck. They're the best.
I liked how in the effect,
I'd
how
fuck
she was
a demon.
Just
I'd fuck a demon. I don't know what I'm sourcing myself for in the end aspect, but I don't know, they seem like they can be pretty wild.
Well, if anybody's hearing this and we don't hear from Matt, we should probably get someone to perform
he
an exorcism.
He went headway into some fucking deep into the pussy of some succubus and shit, and he just got fucking, he disappeared.
Aye, aye, aye.
He never fucking...
Aye, aye, aye. Like the movie Teeth. All right, so she chewed on what's his name's tongue and spit that out.
Yeah.
And then
he
start seeing.
He talked too much anyway, so fuck him.
Yeah, and at this point, this is the point where like things are gonna just start like falling like crazy.
That domino effect. This is where it starts right here, you know.
Yeah, we see Suzanne doing the makeup on her face, and then like that really, really interesting shot with her like starting to draw on her body, and then she like puts the
Before you get there, we have to embrace this iconic scene right here. Okay, to me, this scene was solid gold, right? Like, this should have been the film cover in the first place. And to me, it's always been, and I still remember when I watched it, I was like, there it is. There was that one scene that I knew I could remember was the thing that made me remember this entire movie. Now, you got to think to yourself, as a horror fan, there's those movies, they always have that iconic scene, or the ones that you remember most have that iconic scene that always stick with you. You know, like, you know, for instance, fucking everyone remembers Liam Neeson on Darkman fucking breaking that dude's fucking finger sideways, or you know, just like different things like that. This is that scene, right? And so instead of us just going over it real quick, I just like to put a little frame around this one.
Oh, and no, I have right here in my notes how it encaps boob shot, but not just that, how well this was done, because I couldn't really like pick up how they pulled it off with practical effect.
That's the mind of you and Paul right there. See, again, I leave it to the movie magic. To me, well, we'll get to that in a second. You
the magic
explain
was
to
strong.
The audience. You explain to the audience what happened.
Yeah.
What was it? She had the makeup and she was swirling it around her breasts, all sexy and shit like that. What'd she do with that makeup?
It went directly into her nipple and disappeared. And like,
boom, like magic. Like
absolutely.
Magic.
Absolutely.
Like magic.
The magic was strong on this one.
I'll even go about saying this, Paul. Since this is the first one I'm doing without you, I want you to remember this. If we were still doing reviews on these movies, like we were before, you know, like with Pumpkinhead, we had the pumpkins. Like with things, we were thinking about we had the Dippy Birds, but we were thinking about doing sandwiches. This movie would have had lipsticks.
facts.
That was such a disturbing fucking. I fucking loved it. I loved it. It's just like that shit just went right in there. Just
yep.
A whole lipstick straight into her areola.
Very well.
That
done.
Just even I felt uncomfortable, and I don't even have tits. I guess I, you know, I would only compare it to like. If I'd seen a dude do the same thing to his urethra and just jam that shit straight up into his penis.
Ah, all right. Moving on now. I don't want that cringe right at the moment.
Cringe-worthy podcast.
So while all this is going off, Jay wanders off with Suzanne so that they can go have sex inside of a coffin. And while they're going ahead and getting
No. That was the Asian chick.
Yeah.
Suzanne.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, Suzanne and Jay was the one who was trying to get with Judy earlier.
Yeah. This is partially why I like to give them fucking aliases and shit like that. Kind of makes it easier. Yeah, we forgot that. Yeah, there's an Asian chick. And for some reason, she's got big tits. No stereotypes here, but, I mean, unnaturally big tits on an Asian chick, I must say.
I think everybody is well proportioned in this.
Because if you're going to show tits, no one wants to see anything that's just not appealing. So
fact.
They're going to be like, well, how do your tits look? All right, you're in. Yeah, so she's she took it upon herself to get into to denim guy's pants, right?
I think this one was Jay. This was Mammy Vice. Miami Vice is the one who...
No, because didn't Miami Vice go into the bathroom
with Suzanne?
Suzanne?
Yeah.
No, she gouges out his eyes. Well, you just jumped in the head. Spoiler alert, Alan. You're jumping ahead a little bit. But No, because it was, okay, it was Denim Guy. Denim Guy is fucking the Asian chick. He's trying to flirt with her, and they see the coffin. He's all, I never did it in a coffin before, which I'm sure everyone's thought that at some point. Sarcasm. Right. What the fuck thinks about that? But all right, whatever, floats your boat, do it. There's their thing. Meanwhile, like you said, Miami Vice, who Alice in Wonderland. Oh, that's right. One of the pieces we're missing was that he tried to have sex with her and she turned him down. Absolutely. You know what? She wasn't ready, man. Hey, man, no means no. And this might be something fucked up for me to say, but should I say Kobe Bryant? He's passed since. But we know what that means. No means no. Let it go, right? So this guy was like, fuck, I didn't get my rocks off now. So he goes roaming around the house. He happens to find our girl Suzanne after she stuck that fucking thing up her nipple and shit, and she got fucking lipstick all over her face.
I mean, he was looking for any action he could find at that point, really, is where he was going. But like, that's when
you blame the guy, he got turned down and shit. But like I said, no means no. Like, what are you gonna do, right?
80s. So, 80s.
I'm sure he's walking around this possessed house with a boner and fucking happens to run into Suzanne, who looks like she's in a very fragile state. And he's like, Yeah, she looks pretty fucked up. She's got fucking lipstick all over her face and shit like that. And she's like, what? Did I mess up my makeup? And he's just like, nah, it looks good. And then she starts like fucking grabbing onto his cock. So he's all like, oh, well, since we're doing this, there we go. He lets loose and lets the succubus get the better of him at that time.
Right. And then Anne starts her little 80s possession dance, right? Like with the strobe light, which reminded me of like a scene from Looking for Mr. Goodbar.
Yeah, nice.
So Sal then finds Suzanne with the makeup. We got Jay's eyes got squished. Then Judy.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, no. That's Miami Vice, right? Miami Vice. Yeah. While he's being taken by the succubus woman, that is Suzanne now, she pops out his eyeballs. And then we go back to the coffin fucking scene. Casket?
Right.
Casket. Actually, that's really a casket. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know the difference, there is a difference. Casket is what you would normally see in modern times as your typical, it goes into the grave. It's got the double door kind of thing and stuff like that. A coffin was very different. It's more diamond shaped, and that's what you would get a box you were thrown in back in the early days and shit like that. It wasn't anything like a casket. So there you go. If you never knew the difference between a casket and a coffin, that's the difference.
The more you know. Caskets. I need that little star to fly across.
Yeah, well, the inside, the inside's got the nice lining on it, so you're nice and comfy and stuff like that. I made a joke at work. It was very tasteless.
Oh, no.
I did make a joke at work. I thought it was pretty funny. Well, I didn't start this joke, so I'm not the only asshole here. But we were talking about Dog the Bounty Hunter, and we were talking about his wife. She had the big tits and shit, right? Like, massively, like, mountainous tits. And leave it to this asshole right here, me, this guy right here, to go, like, I wonder how that turned out, trying to close the coffin.
Oh, my. Oh, no. All right. So on that note, this is when we then run into Suzanne, who is standing over Miami Vice, and she offers a threesome. But she's like, you might have to work to get him hard or something like that.
Hey, how about an orgy? I'm sure if we try, we can get Jay hard again.
Right. It was just before or after the Asian and casket denim guys.
That was after they've already been ripped up. We've moved on from there. We've kept going.
Well, because I don't think we covered what's his name? Stooge. Stooge turned into a demon.
Yeah.
And yeah, he killed them. Tongue. Well, he killed them though. Like, but yeah, we knew he died, but we didn't realize he turned into a demon until this point. So basically, this is where we figured out that everybody who gets killed by these demons, kind of like a vampire, now just becomes one of their tools of destruction.
Like zombie feel. That was that zombie feel I've got from it.
Yeah, like demon zombie things. Yeah.
Yeah. So Sal, denim guy, he gets all freaked out as he sees Angela like putting her hands in the fire and having them on, like melting, which is a pretty cool effect. And Roger fell asleep in the car and is woken to like Helen's dead body like flying onto the windshield. So they then
Was. I was like, wait a second, who the fuck was that? Because I couldn't tell who the fuck it was. Yeah, her face was smashed against the windshield, so I didn't get a good look at who she was. It was just a person whose face splattered on the windshield. So, like, all right.
Yeah. Then they start going on their little, like, hide-and-go-seek, you know, running from the demons through the house and trying to hide from Angela. And they discover, you know, Jay's body's dead, and they're finding everybody's body and so forth. And Judy, she's hanging on the side of the house trying to like get her great escape when Sal gets thrown and like impaled onto a board in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
She then finally jumps off of the roof, makes a big crash, and is trying to run for the wall to try to get over the running water that the wall represents. And
what I was going to say. That's why we had to say that, because because if we had said that without the whole wall thing, they would have not known what that meant.
Yep.
So yeah, the wall was a big element towards the end of this film as we're engaging into the last 10 minutes. And she's climbing a wall.
You got Alice in Wonderland and Pirate Roger trying to go ahead and get over the wall. By climbing up that barbed wire. There's like a random piece of barbed wire just hanging down this fence, and they're using it to climb up the side of the fence.
Judy, give me your hand. It's one of those classic moments of like do or die, right? Like you just
absolutely
you're like, well, if all I got is fucking barbed wire to climb up this fence, so be it. Shit, you're fucking ripping up your arms getting all the way to the top. Yeah. I definitely like that little bit right there. I was like, all right, thoroughly enjoyed that, you know?
Right?
Takes a lot of guts, man, because most people in that scenario, your idea is the fight or flight, right? Like your natural sense to survive is to just go and do what needs to be done. But I feel like in that moment, a lot of people would sit there and think, that shit's going to hurt. Like, which one do I go for? But in that moment that you spent thinking about it, you're already fucked because they catch up.
Right.
Right. And so instead, they just went for it, right? They went straight for it. They're fucking climbing up this fucking barbed wire, up this fucking brick wall and shit like that. And then what happens, Reedy?
Then they're just like peacefully walking down the street, kind of like hand in hand. Like they look shaken up, but like they're walking down the street and the whole like, oh, we made it kind of look.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe what was there? There was a reaction right on the other side of the wall, though.
Yeah. There was a big old cloud of smoke, like just rising up from behind the wall,
which indicated to us that those demons hit their boundary. Oh, and not to mention what we didn't mention before was, again, this movie followed a lot of common lore, common knowledge when it comes to like demonology and stuff like that. One of the factors being that they like to prize on was that this was during Halloween. Mm-hmm. This is the time where the fabric of the living and the dead is thinnest, and they're the demons' one chance to be away from hell. I like that aspect. To me, that was a very good utilization of lore right there. And also that in knowing that, really, all you have to do is wait till dawn, and they won't be a problem anymore.
No, you just gotta make it to dawn, like from Dusk Till Dawn, right?
Well, no, I mean, that's actually another bit of that lore too. But my thought was when they were talking about that, my initial thought was like, yeah, it's in every, and there's a lot of things that portray that, but the one that sticks to me most is that movie, fucking Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn. Right. You know, like, yeah. and that's—I mean—that's what it's called, Dead by Dawn. Shit, you know, because when dawn comes, you know, they're not around anymore. So I just thought that was very interesting. Like, it kind of it corresponded with that common lore, and like you said, as they crossed over that brick wall, the brick wall, I think, was more than just a brick wall. It was symbolic to, like, the far reaches of the boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
Of and
it was also the boundary they should never have crossed to begin with, right?
Right, exactly. So even that being said, and me saying that this movie didn't have any plot and real storyline, which I still don't think it did. It just, you know, it just took a good idea and just kind of made it in there. But there's no real story to me, but it just it took a lot of what the knowledge that we know and used it and spent it very well throughout. And
I agree,
and that's what we see here, like you said, this, like we both said, like there's a symbolism. God damn, I had such a hard time thinking. And you know what's funny is reminding me of that fucking that scene in fucking Boondock Saints when that guy goes, "What's the symbology here, detective?" And he's all like, "I think symbolism is the word you're looking for." And I was like, "God, I'm gonna be that asshole."
The wrong syllable.
But yeah, I think it represented a lot.
There is the one final scene of the movie, though. Like, so as they're like walking hand in hand peacefully down the street, they walk by that same old man from the beginning, and he grudgingly, like, "Get out of my face, you dumb kids," you know, and goes back in the house and sits down, and his wife is there. She's like, "Hey, I took those apples that you had left over from Halloween and made you up a tasty homemade treat." He's like, "Homemade, huh?" She's like, "Yeah, use that apple pie, like all those apples you had."
"I've been up for hours, sleepyhead. I made it while you were getting your beauty rest."
"Last night?"
"There weren't as many trick-or-treaters last night. Not like the good old days. I had to do something with all those leftover apples. I still can't understand why you buy so many."
And he takes a couple bites, and then we see right through his throat, just all the razor blades cutting open his throat and bleeding out.
Yeah.
I thought it was a pretty nice scene. And she then gives him a like kiss on the head and goes like, "Happy Halloween, dear."
"Happy Halloween, dear."
Right, and then fade to black, right?
Yeah,
that was the end.
That's how it is. So,
yeah.
Like, she knew he was a crotchety old man and was doing him in.
Yeah. Just, definitely a time capsule of a film, I'd say.
Well, one thing that I noticed when I was watching the credits, I was looking for the music specifically because there was this just constant driving 80s electronica sound that was in there. And it's very classic of, like, the late 80s. And it turns out that the music was all done by the director's brother, Dennis Tenney, the brother of the director, which I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah, go figure. Go figure.
Yeah. But yeah, so
speaking of brothers, hold on. While we're on that subject, did you know this? I didn't find it out till recently. Did you know that the singer for Filter and the T-1000 are brothers?
Oh, that's cool. No, I did not.
Fuck yeah, dude, look it up. And I saw them, dude, I saw them together, I was like, holy shit, they are brothers. I thought it was just somebody's fucking, like, reckless, like, fucking joke and shit like that. And I fucking go and look it up, and no shit, they are brothers.
Facts.
I like the fact that one went to music, the other one went to mainstream Hollywood, and boom. They didn't really cross paths in any way other than that. And I just thought that was really cool. And T-1000, that
was that Robert Patrick?
Robert Patrick, yeah.
Yeah.
And if you guys didn't know that listening to this podcast, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast because goddamn, you don't buy movies.
On that note, son of a bitches. This is a good $1.2 million budget movie that made $3.1 million. So like it came out profitable. It was a success. This is a good one, Matt. I really appreciate it taking some time pulling up with you and going through this one.
Yeah, it was a fun watch, man. Fun rewatch, I should say. I definitely enjoyed it. I enjoyed the remake too. So that's definitely something we'll cover later on down the road. It's definitely a good watch. You guys like that good old like trope slasher 80s flick thing going on? You'll definitely like this movie, Night of the Demons.
Absolutely.
It's like dick. It's like a sore dick. You can't beat it.
Oh. And on that note, everybody, we'll talk to you guys later, all right?
All right, check us out on different platforms. Check us out on Instagram. Check us out on, you know, we have our early episodes on YouTube, and don't forget about those. Yes, just like my boy Alan here said, this is Mutant City Horror.
We gotta go now.